Talk to Andre. This program is intended to provide views, opinions, and advice to help people in everyday life, but does not represent, nor should be interpreted in lieu of professional advice or consultation. Good afternoon, everybody. You are a star, and I am your friend. What's on your mind? Talk to Andre.
Speaking with.
Hi, Andre. It's Rosemary. How are you?
Rosemary, I'm good. How about yourself?
Hey, nice talking to you.
Well, great. Thank you, and I appreciate you calling in.
Yeah. We heard about your show, and, I would like to talk to you about a subject that keeps on bothering me, you know. You said that's your format, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Whatever's on your mind, talk to me about it. I'm here for you.
Okay. You know what? I'm working at a pretty large office.
Mm-hmm.
As a self-executive.
Mm-hmm.
And for the life of me, I don't know how and why, but all the women, they either loves me passionately, or hate me with a passion.
Mm.
And with a man, it's the opposite way. As a man, I have no problem. They all fell in love with me.
Then that means you must be attractive, then.
You will be the judge.
Well, that's
what do you think about that?
That's a normal and common situation in the workplace, and I think it goes back to the innate nature of women. I think where they tend to be either supportive or jealous, and depends on which end of the spectrum you end up on. If they like you, they will support you in every way and give your sense of a understanding and support network. But once you cross that side and you go on to the other side, remember, women can be catty. And if you're not on the good side, you're now on the bad side. And
that's again, you're lying to them. I was just being myself.
They're intimidated by probably your personality and your looks as well.
What did I do to intimidate them?
Probably it could be your intelligence at work, it could be your personality at work, and overall, the most important thing is you're getting the men's attention.
Yeah, I do, but I didn't even ask for it, though.
Well, you know what, I understand that, but the only two people you can blame for your good looks are your mom and your dad.
Yeah, but, I was born that way, and that's about it.
Well,
I should thank them, huh?
It can be a blessing and it can be a curse, but it's more of a blessing because it's you and it's your life that you have to live. And if it works to your advantage, then hey, work it to your advantage. Unfortunately, you can't please all the people all the time.
Great. Yeah.
And that's just one thing you're going to have to deal with. What you can do is do your best, be friends with them, but if you know that they're out to sabotage you, always keep one eye open to make sure that they're not going to do anything to hurt you. If you see that they...
But that's okay. I don't have to live with that.
That's a sad part about human nature.
Yeah, right.
Then what you have to do is go on with your life and treat them with respect and be nice to them. But you don't have to go out and have drinks with them. You don't have to go to lunch with them.
Kicking them, you know where.
Yeah. We all do.
Yeah.
But you know what? You're better than they are.
That's comforting to know. Thank you very much, Andre.
You're very welcome.
So, what time are you on again this week?
Well,
are you on just one time, this time only?
Yep. Around this time, you can always catch me. Not only that, but if there is something that you'd like to discuss in person and not over the airways, you can call me at my 900 number.
Oh, and I'd like to have that.
Well, certainly. I will go ahead and get that to you, and we'll go ahead and discuss this in private more, and that way you don't have to feel that your personal situation or issues are broadcasted over the air.
Oh, okay. Then thank you for knowing that. I talked to your screener about that.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Andre.
Rosemary, thank you very much for calling, and I hope I did help you in this situation.
Oh, yeah, you did. Tremendously coming from a man's point of view.
Well, yeah.
They try to sabotage me all the time.
Right. Well, we appreciate you because you're beautiful and you're good-looking and you're appealing to us. So make more male friends and less female friends in your workplace.
I try to, but female, sometimes they turn on me too. At first they'd be my best buddy, the next thing they turn on me like I'm a you-know-what.
Right, exactly. Well, you know what? They're out to sabotage you. That's why they do that. And you know what they say? Keep your friends close, but keep your enemies closer. So be friendly, be nice to them, but just always have your guard on and you'll be okay.
Thank you, Andre.
You're welcome.
I'll talk to you again.
You're very welcome. Okay, I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Take care, Rosemary. Goodbye.
That seems to be common in the workplace, and it's unfortunate, but I guess women will be women. Their competitive spirit or jealousy will always get the best of them. Whatever the environment is, they'll just bring it over into it. But let's see if we got someone that can give Rosemary some advice.
You're on with Talk with Andre, and how may I help you?
Hello, Andre. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. And how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. My name's Chris.
Hey, Chris. Well, thanks for calling in, buddy. What's on your mind that I can help you with?
So what was the other previous caller talking about? Maybe I could do a follow-up.
Well, she was talking about how she has a little situation with her female co-workers. They tend to be jealous with her and sabotage her at the workplace. And, you know, she's getting along great with the guys, but it's the women that, you know, are just giving her a hard time at work. And I told her it's probably because she's an attractive, intelligent woman. And, you know, women tend to feel intimidated by someone of that caliber, and so they try to bring her down.
Very interesting. I probably want to do like talk about a spin-off of that topic, and possibly about how women, you know, are jealous in outside of work in terms of like friends and mm-hmm. you know, it seems like how some girls have a lot of guy friends, and almost all guy friends.
Right. What's your take on that?
They view other girls as being jealous, and you know, they kind of get more into fights with other girls, and they just don't seem to get along with like groups of girls. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, somewhat they seem to be outcasts,
right?
You know, even along their own friends, but
right.
you know, they just tend to hang out with more of the boys,
or they just like the attention of having guys around them.
Or that could be.
Yeah, and what about having to go out and find a guy when you got guys around you in a circle? Just eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Yeah.
what else is on your mind that I can talk with you about, Chris?
I was just thinking of just off the whole new topic is we could. Well, I was just wondering your thoughts on the whole new craze of Texas Hold'em. The card game that everyone's playing. They have TV, they have all sorts of websites that are dedicated for they're pretty much online gambling
sites. Right.
Where they right. link up your credit card or bank account number.
Uh-huh.
And you know, you're just basically shuffling money with millions of other people in the world.
Exactly. What's your take on that?
I started thinking that that the game of Texas Hold'em has it's sort of being a sort of a remark of how society is right now. Because I think that if you think about it, just in the table set, there's probably about 8 or 9 people playing, and you know, we all kind of start out with our own money or the same amount of money.
Right.
But then in the end, you know, we're giving it to almost virtually one person. And then the other 8 people are walking away penniless.
Right.
But the same, you know, it's just sort of like that. But we all seem to have this desire to take a chance.
That's a very good point. Yeah, go ahead and tell me that taking the chance. That's an innate human feeling is to always want to take that chance and to make it big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's an innate human psyche, I think. That's why gambling is so big, because we always want to think that we're going to be the exception to that rule, that you're going to lose your pants off. But no, I'm not going to be that one. I'm going to be that one that hits the big hand and walks away. Does that go into the deep-rooted instinct of survival of the fittest? Are we bringing out a basic instinct in all of us, but bring it into a civilized sense? Instead of beating each other up with a bat, I'm going to beat you and take your money?
I think so, and I just don't think a lot of people are realizing that, you know, that's what's really happening.
Maybe some of the argument would be it's the spirit of competition, and maybe they're disguising that aspect of survival of the fittest, and tying it into the spirit of competition as an excuse. And not to mention that, speaking about competition and making money, how about this being a reach of Vegas throughout the world, being a racket now, that instead of you having to go to Vegas, Vegas will come right to your doorstep, right into your computer.
Right.
And hey, you know what, get you addicted and start this new trend where we're going to see a growing number of gamblers because of the convenience. They don't have to travel to Vegas anymore. They can be gamblers and addicted to it right at their PC. Okay. Well, Chris, once again, thank you very much, and thanks for sharing what's on your mind, and I hope to talk to you soon in the future.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye. Goodbye.
Hmm. That was interesting about what Chris brought up with poker. Well, I think it's becoming prevalent, and with the internet, makes it a whole lot easier to get caught up in that. So, folks, hold on to your wallets or your purses at that, and watch out for those poker online sites.
Thanks for calling, and you're on with Talk to Andre. How may I help you?
Hey, Andre.
Hey,
Randy.
Randy, how you doing today?
Good.
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm calling you from New York.
Ooh.
I've been talking to a lot of my friends out here,
mm-hmm.
and who are all very conscious in the health issue area and health wellness and awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And we're amazed because I'm a diabetic.
Mm, okay.
And I've been a diabetic for about 20 years.
Oh.
And when I became a diabetic,
mm-hmm.
1 out of 20 people were diabetic.
Hmm.
And now, 1 out of 3 are diabetic.
Oh my gosh, really?
So, I want to know, like, what the heck is going on? And I'm thinking, okay, it's the processed food and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But I have received 3 emails
mm-hmm.
about a chemical called Aloxin,
mm.
which has been FDA approved, and mm-hmm. it bleaches white flour, and it's known to cause diabetes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So tell me, why does the FDA approve such a chemical to be processed in what they call, quote-unquote, enriched bread?
Hmm, that's a very interesting subject you brought upon, so I really appreciate that. And you know what? I can only think, in my opinion, the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, is a body of business. They are an administration. They are to be looking out for us. But just as the pharmaceutical industry, they're out to make a profit. And why do you think that there are certain drugs out there that are causing side effects that are very harmful to human being, and they have passed the FDA's approval, while there are other drugs out there that are not even allowed to come in, but yet we as Americans have to travel to Europe, to Asia, to South America, even down to Mexico or Canada to get these drugs, but yet we're not able to benefit from it in this country. It's
crazy.
It's sad, but I think it's all about profits.
So I'm hoping that everyone that's listening to you is aware of all this stuff, and I'm telling as many people as I can to do not eat foods with enriched wheat flour.
Exactly.
And, I mean, we can only just help spread the word, I guess.
Absolutely, and I'm glad, and that's why I said it's great that you brought up this subject, because a lot of people are not aware of what's going on. And I think that with all the preservatives we have, we won't need to have to go through much embalming, because we've already got it in us. So rest assured, we're going to be lasting in our coffins for a good long while.
Exactly. No, I agree with you there.
Now, another thing about it is sugars, processed sugars. The sugar industry is a huge industry that's on the hush-hush, just as you've brought up.
And so is insulin.
Yes.
All the brand new diabetics.
Exactly.
For type 2 diabetes.
Right. Let's bring it all out now. Let people know and be aware. You know, they might not like us, and I don't know what's going to happen, but you know what? At least as human beings, we are sharing with others, and like they say, knowledge is power. We are now empowering other listeners to be...
knowledge is responsibility. So if you know this information...
Yes.
Then, like, for me, I'm aware of this information. I've
right.
gotten several emails on it. And
right.
So, like, I want people to know, because I don't want others have to experience what I've had to experience
in
the past 20 years.
I love that you say that, and that's wonderful, because, you know, like in the aspect of law, if you see a crime being committed and you do nothing about it, it's as if you had partaked in that commission of a crime.
Yeah.
So for you to know this knowledge and you to let people know and be aware of that, you're doing your job. Now, to know about this and not do anything about it, you are doing a disservice to mankind.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. And let me tell you a bit of information is that the sugar industry has a direct line to the White House. So that kind of gives you a little insight into how much power they've got. So,
really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes. Now, see, it's you have empowered our listeners, and I am also doing that as well. Yes. Let me let you know that they are the industry that has a direct line to the White House. Why do they have a direct line to the White House? You wonder. And if you look at almost every single product out there, food product, you will see somewhere down the line, sugar is involved.
Evil.
You know, sad to say, but if you think about it, what's this nation built on? Capitalism. So, I mean, it's a give and take. It's a two-edged sword. It's made this nation powerful, but at what cost?
And it's made it. I mean, it is a great nation to live in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, go to other countries, and yeah, we have a lot of liberties. So
right.
So it's not like, you know, I'm trying to diss the country by any means.
Right.
But, I mean, I just think that, you know, you're going to find flaw in any form of government. And just, again, being aware of the things that we can do to just take care of our own.
Exactly.
And our friends and whatever.
Right, exactly. We're just stating advocacy. That's all. We're not stating anything else. We're just letting people know what's out there to make Americans healthier. So by what you're saying is just making the population and American people healthier and safer out there, and to able to live longer, healthier lives. Not with the life expectancy growing every year doesn't mean that you're living a healthier life.
Yeah.
So we're living longer, but my key question is, are we living healthier?
Yeah. Well, and don't forget, like, bleached flour is found in tempura. Or, you know, like noodles, pasta, tortilla chips.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, it's found in everything.
Basically, wherever there's carbs, it's there.
Well, wherever there's, I mean, potatoes. So even some potatoes are mixed with flour
uh-huh.
in it, like the instant stuff.
Right, right.
You read your label and be aware.
Exactly. And you know what? It just goes down to the very basics that... You know, our parents have told us before, and you're just reiterating that, read the label. And if we all just read the label, like you said, Randy, will be more empowered and will be able to know and discern what products to purchase and to consume and to live a healthier life, and which products to avoid, so that way we can be healthy Americans and human beings.
That's great.
That's wonderful. Well, Randy, was there anything else that was on your mind?
Well, actually, I'm in the busyness of New York, and you know how it is in New York. So, and it's Saturday in New York.
Oh, okay. The busyness of Saturday in New York.
So I actually kind of have to get going.
Okay. All right. Well, in the busyness and on a Saturday in New York, I don't want to hold you up, but I want you to know that I truly appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule and for calling in, letting our people know that they're what to watch out for and what to look out for and to be healthier human beings.
Yeah, it's really like shocking. It's just shocking that information. And remember, it's Aloxan, Aloxan.
Aloxan.
I'm sure
we're going to get a lot of follow-up callers about what you've brought up. And thank you so much for calling in, Randy. And you have a beautiful day over in New York.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Take care.
All right. Bye, Andre.
Goodbye, Randy.
That was a pretty interesting comment Randy had there. I guess it's just a sign of the times of modern-day technology, whether it's with computers or whether it's food processing. But just goes back to tell you, we got to be careful what we put in. It's easier to put in than to take out. So please, out there, watch what you eat for a better and healthier life.
You're on with Talk to Andre, and how may I help you?
Hi, Andre. How are you today?
I'm doing good, the best I can do, and always feeling as good as I can be. How about you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Oh,
I always coming out.
I love to hear that. When people are saying they're feeling good, that's how we all should be feeling.
Absolutely. Wouldn't that be nice, Andre, if everybody felt that way every day, or we all felt that way all day?
The world wouldn't be the way it is if that was the case. We should always try to, because, you know, laughter and smiles are contagious, and it's so easy to pass that on. It only takes four muscles to smile.
That's true.
So why don't we just do that?
Let's do it. Why are we waiting for
you? Well, you're doing a good job right now.
Thank you.
Well, who am I speaking with?
This is Carolyn, Andre.
Carolyn, well, thank you for calling in the show. I appreciate you taking time out to enrich our listeners. And what's on your mind I can help you with?
Well, let's see. You know, I was thinking this morning when I got up, and I was thinking about relationships in general.
That's always a hot topic.
Absolutely.
Give me the juicy parts.
Well, I don't know. I was just, you know, I went to a concert last night. I saw all sorts of people, old, young, and it appears to be, at the end of the day, all everybody's looking for is just a little bit of a love. Wouldn't you agree, Andre?
Absolutely. We all do. We, as human beings, we need that connection. We need that affection. That's what makes us who we are. We're social beings. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a society. We wouldn't have a civilization. We'd be nomads going everywhere and doing everything and not having cohesive government or body.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But this is my question. Why is it so hard for us to give and receive unconditional love?
Good question. That's a very deep and good question. To the receiving is the easy part, because we all want that type of love. The hardest part is the giving. Now, the giving, I think, comes through training and discipline, personal training and discipline. It's to understand the basics of what goes around, comes around. If you're going to want that, then you need to learn to give it. Like they say, if you're going to want something done, then you've got to be able to show it. So if I am going to want unconditional love, then I've got to give that. But there may be some factors into why I might not want to give that unconditional love.
I think you're absolutely right. I think some people have given a little bit and, you know, they felt maybe somebody took advantage of them.
Exactly.
And now they decide, well, I'm not going to give till someone else gives. And then once the person comes along, I think they start giving you.
Exactly. And then now that they've given you what you've wanted, you've now been jaded and traumatized by previous experiences. And now you're thinking, okay, what's the catch? Why are you doing this? And then, you know what, it's great that you brought up that subject, because now hopefully listeners that are in relationships where they're the ones that are maybe giving it a hard time because they're kind of taken back and saying, okay, where's the hook in this? Maybe if they, by listening to us, they maybe have their guard a little bit more down. And, you know, when you've got to take chances, life's filled of chances, right?
Absolutely. And I think if you want to receive, you have to stand up and say, well, I'll start. I'll be the change.
Right.
You know, because I think too often we spend and we waste, if I may,
yes,
time
right,
expecting other people to change. We're absolutely, we have no control of our society or our environment, but where I think we have the control and the most control, I may say, it's us, how we can change ourselves.
Exactly.
So therefore, we'll reflect that into our environment. And I mean, it's amazing. The minute you start to be the change,
right,
your environment changes.
Exactly. You will be that ripple in that pond, that one drop. One drop is all it takes to create a ripple in a pond.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think, you know, if you are in a relationship and your partner comes home, or your husband or your wife or your fiance, boyfriend, girlfriend, doesn't matter, and
yes,
you know, they just had a bad day, and suddenly out of nowhere they're screaming and yelling.
Right.
Our tendency is to scream and yell back.
Exactly.
Because we feel like, oh my gosh, did I do something wrong? Which,
right,
you know, it really stems from our feeling that lack of sort of a confidence.
Right.
Within us, that probably we never received from our parents, or we were blamed.
Exactly.
You know, as we were children.
Right.
Instead, we can just say, well, you know, wrap our arms around our loved ones and
right,
say, whether it's your child or your mother or your father, it doesn't matter, you know.
Right.
And we just say, oh my God, you know, it sounds like you were having a bad day today.
Yes.
You know? Can I help you? Let me just give you a hug, you know. I wish I could take all your pain away.
Right.
I think you'll receive a better, you know, effect.
Absolutely.
As a result of that, you know?
Right. Oh, you are 100% correct.
Yeah.
You are absolutely correct. Now, that's where the personal development and training and discipline comes in. We have to fight that basic instinct in us of being selfish and saying, well, if you're not going to give me anything, I'm not going to give you anything either.
Absolutely.
And wherever you may find that, whether it's spiritual or whatever may be the catalyst to changing you, then do it. You know, whether it's going to a therapist or a counselor and them saying, you know what, it's you're not. And that's another thing to come to think of it. We cannot conceive being loving and kind as losing. You're not losing. You're actually
gaining.
Yeah, we feel like, oh, I'm giving in. I'm giving in to you. You're not giving in to that person. You're giving in, if you want to think about giving, you're giving in to the relationship.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I don't know how much you know about Buddhist philosophy, but in Buddhism, it says cause and effect are simultaneous.
Exactly.
The minute you make a cause, the effect has been created, whether or not you see the result instantaneously.
Absolutely.
You know, no one knows when that will manifest itself. But
right,
at some point, you know, it will definitely, definitely manifest. And I think, you know, we all have the 10 worlds within us. World of anger, animality, hunger, you know, rapture, realization, giving. And, you know, I like to also believe, not to believe, based according to Buddhism philosophy, the Buddha, the world of Buddhahood, which is your highest life condition.
Right.
And, you know, what people don't realize, the universe has the same all 10 worlds.
Absolutely.
So if I'm coming from a world of anger, which is very normal, you know, if you feel angry, then you feel angry. Guess what? If you're acting upon it and reacting to your anger, then the universe, guess what it's going to give you?
Absolutely.
A mad driver, someone who just left his house and had a big fight, and you're going to get into, you know, accident perhaps with that person.
Exactly.
Or, you know, you will be standing in line, someone will give you an attitude, and then you will be wondering, oh my God, what did I do? You know, is everybody having a bad work
today? You are absolutely correct. It's the law of attraction.
Absolutely.
And just think about this, a very kind of visual way is, if you throw a ball against a wall hard, it's going to come back at you hard.
Sure.
But if you just bounce it off the wall, it'll just gently come back to you, and that's just a very, very normal and practical way of looking at things. But we all want to seem to be the exception. You know, it's like, well, I don't want to give love, but I want to get it.
Or it doesn't work for you. It works for you, great. It won't work for me.
Correct.
And I think, you know, where people are mistaken, it's okay to be angry, but also we have the absolute power.
Right.
To switch that.
Yes.
I mean, it's like in a moment you can just make a decision that I'm not going to be angry.
Right.
At least I'm not going to react. I'm angry, I understand.
Right.
It's a feeling we have. Let's feel it.
Right.
But let's not react. And I think it's an exercise. You know, it doesn't happen overnight.
No, you are correct.
Overnight.
Right. Right, exactly. And it just boils down to, if you want to be loved, you have to know how to love.
Absolutely.
That is, I think that's the bottom line. And we just have to keep that in mind and be aware of that. And I really appreciate the call, and thank you very much for sharing what's on your mind, Carolyn.
I'm sorry?
I appreciate the call and for sharing with us what was on your mind.
Oh, thank you, Andre, for having me on your show. It was pleasure talking to you.
It was a pleasure that you blessed us by being on the show and sharing with our listeners and letting them think about it, because now you've put a thought in someone's mind out there, and now you've made an impact in not only their life, but someone else's life in their relationship. And that's a beautiful blessing.
I know you.
I know you have. And thank you so much, Carolyn.
Have a beautiful day, Andre.
Thank you. You have a beautiful day as well. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Well, thank you, Carolyn, for that comment. It's definitely going to impact a lot of callers, because we all got relationships, unless we're hermits that live in caves and just best friends of pet rock. So, you know what, everyone? Look into your relationship closer. If you got to give in, well, I wouldn't say give in, but if you got to compromise, do so. And if that other person doesn't, it's time to get out. But if that person does, stay in the relationship. It's a give and take. Remember that.
You're on with Talk to Andre. Thank you for calling in. How can I help you?
Yes, hello, Andre. How are you? This is Arthur.
Hello, Arthur. I'm doing good, and how are you?
Very good, very good. I heard some of the advice you've given the people there, and this is wonderful. It's excellent.
Oh, thank you.
I was hoping that you could solve my problem.
I don't give any guarantees, but I certainly will give it my best.
You don't? Well, why am I calling? You have to guarantee it.
Nothing's a guarantee in life.
That's very true.
Thank you.
But, what my problem is, you know, I just got out of drama school. I'm an actor.
Mm.
And I thought, well, who should I talk to that's could better advise me as someone who's in show business like yourself as to how I can get work?
Well, thank you. It's a different kind of show business, but I can certainly kind of give you some general pointers.
Well, you know, I just finished drama school and so forth. I've been doing plays, et cetera, and I've been trying to get an agent, and I'm having a little problem in there, in that maybe I'm not communicating things properly,
et cetera. Right. Let me ask you, are you union?
Well, not yet.
Not yet.
I can't get into union until I get a job, and I can't get a job because I'm not in union. That's the problem.
It's a catch-22, huh?
Yeah. I was told this, though, but maybe I could join the union of extras,
mm-hmm.
and start getting work. And mm-hmm. if I get a certain amount of work, then I can join the Screen Actors Guild.
That is correct. Just to
how does that work? Can
okay.
you explain that?
Sure. Just to clarify that, what you do is you set up with an extra company that does extra work, and otherwise known as Atmosphere. When they have projects that would be what's known as SAG work, then if you are picked up as an extra on the set, then you would receive a SAG rate, which is Screen Actors Guild. You would need to be exposed to 3 sets and therefore receive 3 vouchers from a SAG project.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, that's all. All you need is 3.
It's amazing. I'm glad that I called you, because I've talked to people supposedly in the business, and they can't. No one gives you any information.
Well,
they all look at you. Well, it's tough.
Right. Unfortunately, in this business, it's a dog eat dog world. So they.
Boy, they're eating me up.
You already.
I want to start eating.
I'm surprised. I'm eating shreds and pieces right now.
Where is the extra guild?
Okay.
Here it's in Burbank somewhere.
Yeah, it is. It's called Central Casting.
Oh, uh-huh.
In Burbank, and you sign up, and then they will get you the work, and then you know what? Start. See if you can rub some elbows and start talking to some people that can send you on a SAG set.
Uh-huh.
Now, once you're on that SAG set, do whatever you gotta do, but don't sleep with the casting director, though.
No. I only see the woman.
And if she's good looking, well, that's a different
case.
It'd be a pleasure to do. No, but you get on the set, you get picked up, and then you get your voucher for that scene.
Well, how many vouchers do I need to get to qualify for the Screen Actors Guild?
You need to get 3. And it doesn't have to be 3 different sets. It can be the same program or show that you've been assigned to, but so long as each day, let's say you work on a set for 3 days straight, well, each day you're going to get a voucher for that day. You're done.
Uh-huh.
Or it may be that they might send you to, you know, this set, and you get one, and in 2 days you get to another set, you get another one. So long as you get 3, then you then contact the Screen Actors Guild, and they will set you up.
And I pay them.
And you pay. The most important part, you got to pay.
About $1,000 or something like that.
It's about $1,200 last I remember. Right.
So I have to get another job before I can pay them.
Well, you know... Now you are an actor.
Yeah,
once you have to start doing that, and you do the tables or
the tables. Oh, that's why there's so many waiters that are actors.
You're now a bona fide actor.
But if I join the Screen Extras Guild,
mm-hmm.
I can make the money. How much do they generally pay?
$100 a day for 8 hours.
$100 a day. Okay.
Right.
That's better than what I'm making now.
Right. And that's for 8 hours. So what you got to do is create some type of delay.
Uh-huh.
If they say action, you just make the wrong move, or you say something and then they got to cut and they got to take it over again, and it runs over 8 hours. Well, you got overtime.
Oh, great. I'll do that. I'll remember that.
Now, don't blame me if you're blackballed from Hollywood, because
I
told you.
Okay.
But that's what you got to do. Uh-huh.
This is very good advice. Thank you very much. So I'm going to, it's in Burbank, you say?
It is in Burbank. Good. It's called Central Casting.
Central Casting.
And you just give them a call, and they will tell you what days they do see you to get you registered.
Uh-huh.
Once you're registered in their data bank, they will go ahead and go over what's known as a breakdown. And a breakdown will give a description of what kind of people they want.
I see.
And then they will send you out. And at times, they will need it for SAG projects where there's no union members that's available, but you fit the role, you fit the part, then guess what? You get paid SAG rate, and you get the voucher.
Great. That sounds good.
And another way, just to quickly let you know, is if you haven't gotten an agent yet, start looking for an agent, and then let them know that, you know, I'm sure you're talented, you sound well articulate, and let them know that you're an actor, you're an artist.
No, I've been, I've had 8 years of training.
Oh, okay.
4 years of college, dramatics, and 3.5 years at the Pasadena Playhouse.
Oh, okay.
And I thought, here, I'm qualified. I can't get a job. You're not union.
Well, exactly. Right. Well, then you know what? You're highly qualified. Now, I would say.
But Andre, thank you very much. I'm sure glad that I. And I hope everybody that's listening, call Andre. He'll solve your problem. You're excellent. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Has helped me. Now I know where to go.
And if you have any further questions, feel free to call in and I will further assist you. And you know, I just want to wish you the best of luck in the industry.
Thank you very much, Andre, and good luck to you. And I enjoy your show and I think it's wonderful what you're doing.
Oh, thank you for that compliment. It makes me feel good when I know that I'm able to help my listeners. And you know what? You are one of them, and I just want to thank you very much.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Well, Arthur, you know what? Best of luck to you. And break a leg, as they say. And if you need any other advice or information, as I mentioned before, call me. See what I can do to help you. It's a tough position you've taken and a profession. But if you're tenacious and you hang in there, you'll make it.
And you're on with Talk to Andre. How may I help you?
Hi, Andre.
Hello. How are you?
Fine, and you?
I'm good, thank you.
Michelle.
Hey, Michelle. What can I do for you?
Oh, well, this is Talk with Andre, right?
That's right.
Okay. I want to talk about the people, you know, down in New Orleans.
That's a sensitive issue there. I'm glad you're going to talk about that. Tell me what's on your mind with that unfortunate situation with New Orleans.
No, it's just very slow progress going on down there.
Mm-hmm.
And, just quite so bad. I was down there recently visiting my aunt who just turned 101 years old.
Wow. Oh, my. Well, good for her. Congratulations that you're blessed with such a wonderful aunt.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, tell me about your visit down to your aunt in New Orleans.
Well, it's almost hurricane season coming up in June. And it's just such slow progress. They're fighting over the government. It's holding up the funds in order to fix the levees. So it's just really sad, that progress is really so slow after all this time.
Now, what makes you think why they're dragging their feet? And who do you think it is that's dragging their feet?
Well, my understanding from talking with some of the people down there that, and hearing their mayor speak about it on television, that, they just say that it's the government.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't really name anybody specifically, but that, they're waiting for the government to release the funds so they can, get busy fixing the levees, because it doesn't make sense to rebuild the city and then they have another hurricane and it's just going to break the levees again.
Exactly. It's kind of like, well, you're going to build a house with no foundation.
Right. So, they need to fix the problem of the levees instead of just, patching it up.
And that's why I asked you, because, you were there. You're hearing it from the mouths of the people down there. And that's the best source of news and information instead of hearing it through a news source on TV, because you don't know if they're telling it accurately or exactly.
Right.
Now, from what I get, so many things about it. What would you think if the hurricane hit like an upper scale neighborhood of, say, Palm Beach? Do you think it would have taken this long?
No, I don't.
And do you think?
No way.
Personally speaking, I don't think either. And do you think it's economics, or do you think it's racial? What do you think? You were down there. Tell me.
I think it's probably a little this and that turn into a political thing.
Right.
How people suffer
down
there.
Right. Why don't they care?
Like I said, I think it's more of a political thing.
And do you think they're trying to break the stronghold down there so they can create a vacuum and therefore maybe the dominant party that's in office right now can put in more of their own people?
Yeah. Who's going to get the money to work with? And that's holding people, you know.
Now, do you think they're going to be able to finish this project before the hurricane season comes in?
Oh, no way. Oh, that's next month.
Wow. So why do you think they want to leave New Orleans like a ghost town for? I mean, is it because of all development? Do you think the developers have something to do with it, that they're slowing it down so they can develop new housing tracts, new housing projects, jack up the price, and now the former residents and people cannot move back in because they can't afford the houses, and now they're going to try to make it like a West Palm Beach or, you know, affluent area now?
Possibly, but who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But the developers themselves, they're waiting, you know, for the money, too.
So they're waiting as well.
Yeah, everybody's waiting.
Now, what about the human aspect of this? What have people kept their spirits and hopes up, or is it waning? How are the people of New Orleans handling this, you know, travesty of government?
It's taking it day by day. It's kind of like really hurtful to watch the pain in their faces as they go through this day by day. And you can see the hurt there, you know. It's like they're in a motion picture but not being able to watch it, you know.
Right. So they're on autopilot, like in a surreal state.
Right.
Oh, my. And this is like almost a year.
Yeah, it's over 6 months.
I mean, that's so tragic to think about why people have to be the ones holding the bag and having to be the ones paying for, whether it's government bureaucracy, the federal government not communicating with the state government, not communicating with the local government, or whether it may be a deeper, darker agenda that the current administration has, as into maybe changing the demographics of the area to further or give them an advantage politically in the area, because predominantly it's African American, and if you create a diaspora or a flee of the African American vote, which has primarily and predominantly been Democratic, then you create a possibility, and you definitely created a vacuum where an affluent, possibly Republican Party can weigh in their votes into that area.
Could be.
That's just a sad fact about what's going on right now. Either way, whatever the thoughts and conspiracy ideas are, bottom line is, humans are suffering. Americans
right.
are suffering.
That is true.
And that's not right in a country that is supposed to be a first world nation, that we're leaving our own citizens behind.
Right.
I certainly hope they can get their act together.
I do too.
Wow. Well, Michelle, I really appreciate you sharing that with us, because, you know, as they say, time heals everything. And I think as time goes on, we as Americans are forgetting about the horrific experience and tragedy that happened with, you know, Hurricane Katrina and New Orleans. But with you calling in, you're reminding us that, hey, that is still going on. And if you think about it, the media has left it now in the dust. They don't bring that up ever again, hardly.
Yeah, this is true.
And it's great that you're giving us, you're trumpeting a call and reminding us, hey, it's still going on down there. There's nothing happening much, and there's still the human tragedy that's going on. And you know what? From this, I'm hoping that our listeners will, you know, think about that and maybe contact their local congressman and say, what are we doing for the people of New Orleans down there? And especially at hurricane season's around the corner, what can they do?
Yeah, this is very sad and true.
Well, Michelle, I really appreciate your call and just reminding us that there is still a problem and there are people suffering and we need to do something about that.
That's right.
Wow.
Well, thank you so much. It's been good talking to you, Andre.
It's a pleasure talking with you. Thank you very much for enriching our life today by reminding us about the situation with New Orleans.
Exactly. We can't forget them.
No, we cannot until it's been corrected and rectified. But until then, we need to keep vigilant on what's going on over there and reminding people that we have the power to let our government know that we're not happy with what's going on and we got to do something about it.
This is so true.
Well, Michelle, thank you very much for the call and sharing with us what's on your mind.
Thank you, Andre.
You're welcome. Have a beautiful day.
You too.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Goodbye.
And thank you for that comment once again about Hurricane Katrina. It's once again coming up on hurricane season. Doesn't look like they're doing much, especially what's coming on right now with the mayoral race. Hopefully, they'll be able to do something about that and get those people back on their own two feet. And we hope and pray for the best for them. It's that time again. As always, it's been short. Because of you, sweet. I would love talking to every one of you. So please, try again next week. And I'll be here at the same time. But for those of you who got to speak to me, call me. I'll be available tonight from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And every week from Monday through Wednesday from 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time when your day is settled down. Must be 18 and over to call. And remember, you're that shining star every day. And don't forget to talk to Andre at the same time next week. Au revoir!